are now recording, and this is Out Now with Aaron and Abe. I am Aaron, and as always, this is...
Abe! Hello! How are you, Aaron?
I'm doing well. It's a lovely Friday night.
Oh, yeah.
I'm jazzed from watching a bunch of rage-infected zombies running all over the place.
But wait, not can I ask you a question? Can I see your hands?
You need to see my hands.
You're not doing the jazz hands. Oh, there it is. Okay. So you were jazzed.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for that great audio joke. on this podcast.
Yeah.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you for asking.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. I don't know. My adventures in Abedom are not as interesting. I don't have jazz hands tonight.
You can present what you do in your everyday life. He's like, yeah, I'm doing great. I had a good sandwich earlier. Rocked. You know?
Yeah, I'm doing great. I just worked on, like, you know, thousands of Excel sheets.
Yeah, you know, Excel. Very efficient.
Yeah, I don't know why we're still paying for this. Like,
I created Google formulas. Sheets. It was great. Like,
yeah, Google Sheets is much easier or much... They're getting better, but Excel is the king.
The transferability and the fact that you can work on it at the same time, you know, that's all
fun. Yeah, exactly.
Like, Microsoft's like, oh, you gotta have all these firewalls.
I know, now they got, like, Microsoft 365, like, it's all online, it's all just ridiculous. Ridiculous.
Subscription service is weird.
Look at us, like, what is this, a podcast about office work?
No, this is a podcast about movies, and we are talking movies today. This is a bonus episode, however, you know, it's not our regular show, it's just Abe and I. We're gonna talk about the Pixar film Elio.
Hmm.
That is the plan. For this bonus episode, which you should all be aware of because you clicked on the thing that said Out Now with Aaron and Abe, bonus, colon, Elio. So here you are. I still wonder if there's like what I guess like you're thinking autoplay, so you can just like skip to the next podcast. You don't necessarily
I think it does do that, doesn't it?
Mine does that if I generally just know what I'm listening to begin with, because but still I wonder we should really analyze this. How someone listens to a podcast. If you're just like relaxing. If you're just, I don't know, like me on Juneteenth yesterday, just hanging out, and you're just not even looking at your phone anymore. You're just like got the headphones in, you're laying back, you're relaxing, and your podcast release two ends, then it switches to another one. I guess that's the one scenario where you wouldn't know what's going to necessarily come up next, right?
I guess that's true, yeah, because it usually just goes down your if you're listening on Spotify, there's a lot of detail that you and I both, just for whatever reason, know. If you're listening on Spotify, it'll go down to your next unlistened to but following podcast.
Yeah.
Sometimes it'll stick with like the same podcast that you're listening to, but I haven't really seen that unless you're on on airplane mode and you're traveling somewhere. But
if you like download it already or whatnot.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's trying to clear out the whole entire, like, well, you like these podcasts. Here's like the newest one, but sometimes you want to stick with like the same voices.
Yeah. Mine definitely goes to the latest episode of a podcast that I'm like subscribed to or whatever, I think so, which makes sense. Mainly because I get really into the weeds on this one before I got my new car, I had my old iPod, because I had an auxiliary.
What year was it?
That iPod was the like old brick 250 gig. I still have it. It's not like it's
getting. Yeah, of course. Like it's going to be worth like $10 in like 30 years.
Oh, it's right here. It's my
like
you know.
It, yeah.
But it, you know, it's a click wheel iPod, but like I plug it into my car through the auxiliary cable.
Even in your older one?
In my older car. I'm saying my new car doesn't have auxiliary anymore, so I can't use that iPod. So I have to use my phone for the iPod, which is fine. I liked having like a separate thing that was just, you know, loaded with all my podcasts.
Yeah. This is how old we are. Cause like for a moment I was like, can't you use the tape deck?
I had that adapter. I had that in the old car. I did have the tape deck adapter.
Yeah. The blue bullet.
Yeah. The Beamer.
Oh, the 2002. Yeah.
The old Beamer. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you still have the Beamer, don't you?
No, we sold it.
Oh, okay.
My dad had that car since
this is like a 1974, 2002.
76, yeah, 76 BMW 2002. He sold it because
got it.
It's funny as it was to have. It's like he had it for a long time. It's like we don't need it anymore at this point.
So. Yeah.
Man, this is a lot of information.
It's a bonus episode.
On to get into the fact that, yes, this is the podcast devoted to the episode of the movie Elio.
Oh, right, yeah. Elio.
This is as loony as a Knights episode, but it's not a Knights episode.
It's not a Knights.
Thank you. Okay, so let's do that. Let's talk about Pixar's Elio.
Okay, come and get me.
You okay?
I'm trying to get abducted by aliens.
Elio.
Skipping school.
I don't know if this is boundary testing or sleep regression or which one of these is you?
I don't know, but I think that one is you.
My son, are you prepared to become the greatest war machine in the universe?
Oh no.
Your life isn't up there, Elio. You need to make friends.
I just want to belong somewhere.
So if any aliens are listening, please come and get me. Okay, bye, I love you. It's really happening.
That should have been some of the trailer for Elio. I'm just going to read a quick IMDb description of what Elio is about. Elio, a space fanatic with an active imagination, finds himself in a cosmic misadventure where he must form new bonds with alien life forms, navigate a crisis of intergalactic proportions, and somehow discover who he is truly meant to be. At this point, there's no reason for me to say this is like the 29th film from Pixar or whatever, because no. It's a studio at this point. Like,
yeah, exactly.
You know, it just doesn't matter. It's the latest film from Pixar. Mm-hmm. It features a lot of voices that are not like giant A-list stars, which is key to Pixar.
But classic Pixar move.
That's what we do. We have Zoe Saldana, who is, you know, among one of the biggest box office total grossing stars of all time.
I know.
We just wanted to think about.
I want to know if she's worked more last year or Pedro Pascal.
That's a good question.
Let's not forget Brad Garrett.
Oh, I'm going to mention everybody. We have Jonas Kibrerb as Elio, Remy Edgerly, Brad Garrett, Jamil. Shirley Henderson, Brendan Hunt, Matthias Schweighofer. A lot of names there. But with all that in mind, this film was directed by Madeline Sharafian and Domi Shi of Turning Red fame. They came in after Adrian Molina was originally hired on to direct until things shifted gears at Pixar for various reasons, which I imagine come down to changes in the story, time being devoted elsewhere. I know he's now currently working on Coco 2.
Mm-hmm.
Things have shifted before when it comes to Pixar films for a variety of reasons. But with all of that stuff out of the way, Abe, I want to know what you thought of Elio.
I thought it was good. You know, I enjoyed this movie. I really had no real expectation of it. But at the same time, you know, I think that the core story and core theme of finding who you are, finding your place, like, again, like among the universe, I suppose, but kind of just realizing that home, you might have not realized that it was just always in front of you all the time kind of thing. And kind of coming together as a family unit. I could tell that this movie was kind of more directed than one person, primarily because you kind of have some shifts in ideas. We talked about this with Brave a long time ago. But at the same time, I like the characters that are created here for this movie. Elio is very energetic, precocious, fun, you know, but Glordon is fantastic. You know, Glordon is a counterpart to Elio. He's an alien son of a king or ruler or what have you.
King Grygon. Lord Grygon. Lord Grygon.
Thank you. Yeah, lordship. My apologies, your lordship. But yeah, Glordon is equally as precocious and fun, but also you could tell that there was like probably maybe some more character development that they wanted to maybe do there, but they kind of have to get things going. But overall, like, I thought it was a really nice story, and it certainly fits in with the themes of previous Pixar movies. But I know that there's like a little bit of hint of something missing, like a little oomph missing for me. And that might come in the form of just if this is somebody's passion project. Like, you know, I really liked Turning Red. It was Domi Shi's, like, passion project. And so I'm curious, like, you know, with the removal of Adrian Molina, who did go on to do or is going to go do Coco 2 and maybe, like, work on some other special projects, I'm curious, like, where that might have ended up on its own. But it certainly is, like, a good effort for what it is.
I also was a fan of this movie. I was really caught in from the get-go as far as Elio's joy of space. Mm-hmm. Like, it felt very familiar as far as, like, for one thing, when I was growing up, I also really liked space. I didn't necessarily want to be abducted by an alien, but I did, in like, seeing this kid just like become fascinated with things, having the movie starting like the Air and Space Museum.
Yeah.
And even like what the movie's doing as far as like showing us Voyager 1 and showing us like the record that they send us, but like all that stuff, I was just like, this is cool. I'm into this already. It's appealing to very clear sensibilities of mine, but also connecting that to what his drive is as far as having a passion for space and also burying his grief by just becoming more obsessed with something.
Right.
Like there's something there that felt relatable, but also just felt very human. And that got me on board pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. I would say as the movie went on, I appreciated what it was doing as far as like, okay, now we got all these aliens and there's all these a weird amount of politics involving the aliens that we're dealing with.
Which they directly address.
Which they do, yes.
Yeah, he's like, I'm a kid, but they're doing a lot of international politics and I don't know.
Which is funny. And I can agree with you that there's, you know, in doing all of this, there's a lot of areas it's trying to like touch upon.
Yeah.
And yet it doesn't quite have this sort of, not necessarily unifying thing, because I think there is a unifying theme that's pretty clear. But like, as far as if it was the product of like a director who always wanted to tell this specific story about Elio, then I feel like there'd be a way to kind of take everything that it's doing and find a way to hit you with that classic Pixar emotion. And while this film has a level of emotion to it, and there's certainly things that could register certain ways for certain people, depending on just their own life experience or what have you, I don't think it quite like nails exactly what you're saying, kind of nails that key aspect that separates the kind of classic Pixar films from the ones that are, you know, lesser, still good, but lesser. Because Pixar is a studio that rarely like has like a bad movie. Like it just, you know, has movies that are just obviously not on that kind of S tier that the studio became, you know, so famous for. So lacking that, yeah, okay, that's unfortunate, I suppose. Obviously, you want every Pixar film to be like a slam dunk, and not everyone is, but you know, it's what it is. It's still very entertaining. It's very colorful. Right. It looks great because it's Pixar. Like obviously, it's going to look great. I like the voice acting. I mentioned the cast specifically because I like that it is a cast that's full of like just people that know how to, you know, use their voice and not just like who's the biggest star we can find. I appreciate when Pixar goes out of the way to kind of do that. And yeah, no, it's just it's an enjoyable watch for sure. I had a good time watching Elio.
Yeah. I also, you picked up on something that I also noticed, which is this movie certainly has like a lot of like other film references in a very fun way. But even the way that that the Elio title card kind of comes on screen, it made me think of movies like E.T., you know, where it's like this gateway into like, you know, science fiction / like friendship and whatever else. Like it does have a lot of these elements that we might have seen in other extraterrestrial / meets young child movie. It doesn't evoke the same kind of emotion that maybe like an E.T. does, because again, E.T. is very rooted in a few solid things that Spielberg is like trying to play out on the screen here. So it does. But I did think that it was like a fun watch for a lot of like little like Easter eggs that aren't related to other Pixar movies. Actually, were there even other Pixar? Like, I don't think I saw like the Pizza Planet trick in this movie.
I guarantee it's in there somewhere.
Yeah. Now I've got to go and see it. Cause like, that's like one of their core things.
There's plenty of Earth based stuff for it to be in there somewhere.
Yeah, true. And I was also definitely looking for the A113, wherever it might've been.
Some elevator or something.
I've got to go back and check it out. So yes, it was evoking, those adventure movies, for children, and my audience really enjoyed a lot of those things. It was a pretty good mix of young children with their parents, and the parents laughed heartily at some of the jokes, and some like the faux pas, but at the same time, the children really, enjoyed Elio. So
I do think it hits on, how do you phrase this? Pixar is obviously a studio that appeals to all ages. Like that's been,
I thought of the term four quadrant.
Because they tend to be four quadrant films. Mm-hmm. That said, I do think, you know, Quadrant Kid is certainly the one it leans more for, more towards this time around. It's very it's very kid friendly in a way that's supposed to be kind of, you know, accessible to what a child's mindset is familiar with, and very colorful and bright. Mm-hmm. And also, again, there's thematic material, which I'm sure is why it's rated PG. But like, I wouldn't say it's nearly as heavy as other Pixar entries that deal with certain things. And this is a movie that has a child who lost both of his parents. But even then, I still don't think it, like,
they're told very early on.
Yes, I don't think it pushes the weight of that nearly as much as other Pixar films could have. So what I'm saying is I do think it's more kid-friendly than average when it comes to a Pixar movie.
Yeah, and you can tell by the animation style and also maybe the lights that are used in this. Like, you know, again, there's very, like, colorful lights, multicolors, et cetera, et cetera. About like the sorrow aspect of this movie, like, it was good that they introduced it. It was good that they allowed you to know that Elio is affected by this and he's old enough to know how he's affected by it. Mm-hmm. That's why he's kind of withdrawing from his aunt a little bit, played by Zoe Saldana. Mm-hmm. But I agree that, you know, at a certain point, like, it, not that I'm asking for Pixar to, like, cut my heart open and serve it to me, like, on a platter and make me cry my eyes out. But they're certainly...
While eating, so it makes it saltier.
Yeah. Gotta add some salt. Kosher salt to that. But it's more just that that's where the thematics that you and I just brought up earlier, just a moment ago, around different directors, maybe like other writers kind of coming in here and kind of saying, like, well, you know, we need to speed things along here. We should focus on Elio kind of helping out with, like, this mess that he's kind of created. But, you know, I would give it credit for, I guess, keeping a cohesive story for that children audience, for sure.
Oh, for sure. And that's the thing that Pixar really tests. They want to, like, even if they have to kind of make certain changes in regards to what the intention of the story is, they still test the hell out of this thing when it comes to, does it all add up? Because you're not going to find a Pixar movie with plot holes, basically. Like, they're doing the work to make sure, like, there's a coherent narrative that can be tracked A to B to C that anybody can understand. I think the movie does accomplish this. And even, if it moves away from, you know, darker elements, what it is doing, because the movie about a kid that discovers all these aliens, especially at a time right now where the idea of things that are different than you being perceived as enemies, this is a movie that's saying, look at all these colorful, fun things that are friendly. Well, and
what are you talking about, Aaron? The world's great right now.
This is very much a movie about acceptance. Accepting your own family, accepting other families, accepting other people, accepting other creatures, accepting whatever.
Right.
Which has plenty of value in its own way. And again, the fact that it's made from a kid's perspective, I can cherish plenty about the idea of children being warm towards things that do not look like them and saying, you know what, that's cool, I want to be involved in that, as opposed to, no, get away from me, you are not like me. So if Pixar has to make certain choices as far as how to get their narratives across and what they're trying to do, I can appreciate ones that, you know, certainly, you know, send a good message to children, I guess.
Of course.
At the very least.
Yeah. And I think even beyond, like, that aspect of things, it's also just when you have, I guess, commonalities in the way that you have been raised and or the life experience that you've had, and you speak to other people, you can quickly learn that people have also experienced very similar things and are maybe the exact same thing. So it was really nice that Glorp, his name's not Glorp, but Glordon. He's also going through a lot of his own, you know, very Elio style problems, related to, like, parenting and also just, like, what they want to do and how he tends to withdraw sometimes too. So
he's like the hiccup of the Glordon aliens.
He's the son of, the son of the chief, and
doesn't want to be a warlord like his father.
Right, yeah. But you will. I have a question for you, just along the lines of not like the sourness, but like I certainly think that when you have a movie like even like a Luca, which I really enjoyed, it came out like during the pandemic, but it certainly seemed like it was like single sites, you know what I mean? And like, I don't know. Do you know what happened to the director for this? I know that we talked about him being moved to other projects, but was it just more like it was a creative difference? Because again, the Brave thing happened too, and that was definitely a creative difference. But I don't know if you know anything further from all your trades.
It's tough to tell. They're not going to be super forthcoming about, like,
of course,
exactly not, yeah, went yeah. down, nor that they have to be.
Right.
And there's plenty of Pixar classics that changed directors mid-hand for a variety of reasons. I know the story was inspired by Molina, like his own, like growing up being as a military kid. I know that was like
what
the story involved initially. I believe the, because in this movie, Saldana plays his aunt. I believe the character was originally his mother, and it was voiced by America Ferrera. So like that aspect of the story changed for sure. Yeah, I you know, I just based on just what I know, it just seems like whatever they were doing story wise wasn't going forward in the way that was preferred, seemingly. So they just changed hands, and at that point they knew they had Coco 2 to work on. So would it be easier to keep this thing going and not be involved in that at all, or be involved in that, which obviously they have a close connection to, given they directed the first Coco, co-directed the first Coco, and moved on to that project,
right?
So yeah, like I only know so much about this. I'm sure there will be some stories that come out later on or what have you that will detail this more.
Yeah,
but I mean, Adrian Molina still working.
He's
directing a sequel to one of the last huge, like Coco is.
It's top five Pixar for me.
Easily. But I believe it's still like the biggest original film to have opened in the past like 10, 15, 20 years. I'm like,
bigger than Sinners?
Yeah.
because it
made like $700 million, something like that. It made something crazy. Yeah. It's huge, like for animation, you know. The live action has generally been, you know, like the Gravity and stuff like that have been huge, but Coco's still like one of the last big original films that have happened. 814 million. They made a lot of money.
That's a lot of big nuggets there. It's pretty good. I was just curious if you had heard anything else, because it happens all the time. Pixar, they you know.
And I appreciate the question. I know, because we're talking about the idea of having like the personal stakes that a filmmaker can bring to, you know, these stories when it comes to these animated movies or what have you. And I'm very aware that yes, Molina did have like, there was stuff about his own bringing up that did contribute to what the story originally was. But after that, I don't know the full story yet as far as what altered or what changed or why. It doesn't seem like there's necessarily bad blood, because again,
he's still with there. Yeah. I think Pete Docter has kind of like explicitly said that like he's still with Pixar.
Yeah.
So he's just doing other projects. Mm-hmm. Curious around, do you miss the shorts in the beginning?
I always miss the shorts in the beginning.
Me too.
That
like just give me a little tease, or like give me like a 2 minute animated video that somebody really has a passion about.
I mean, Dolby, she won an Oscar, or won a, did she win the Oscar for Bao?
I think that she won a animated short Oscar.
Yeah, right. I'm pretty sure.
And then she goes on to direct Turning Red.
Yeah, she won an Academy Award for the short film Bao. No, I always miss the shorts. I don't know why we do not have them. I don't know what help that's providing to not have the shorts in the beginning.
It's really fun. Kind of really helps set the mood.
It's that not all of these are Incredibles that are nearly 2 hours. There's time. You don't have to wait.
Of course. Yeah. You don't think I want to see like a bird laughing at other birds? Or an old man playing chess by himself?
Himself? Did you say until the end of the credits?
I did, yeah.
To the very end of the credits?
Very end of the credits.
Where instead of a post-credit scene related to the movie, it's instead a preview for the next movie.
Teaser? Yeah, exactly.
So I guess Elio's part of the Avengers now.
It's a Disney family, baby.
But I was sitting there like, not to get too far into this, but I'm like, well, this is a choice. They're like, oh, it's the next thing. That's what we're doing.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, because I was wondering, I was like, this is actually really funny if he hits send, and then it just goes out. Like, what is happening here? But it was a tease
for the next one. Yeah.
Yeah. Just very quickly, I like the score for this movie.
Yeah, Rob Simonson. This is a good score.
Yeah.
I like the score a lot.
He gets to play with like different types of score. It's not just all uniform. Because there's one part where they're having a good time, like Elio and Glordon are having a blast, and it plays like a synth score. And I was like, this is fun. Like, this is actually really neat that he was able to play around a little bit. But it also has like a really nice, like continuous, like a Elio theme, I suppose.
Yeah, no, I really dug what the score was doing a lot. This is Rob Simonson's first animated movie. He's done plenty of other movies, but this is his first animated film.
Oh, okay.
And I thought it rocked. I was like, because I couldn't like put my, because it's not someone that does this. So I was like, I couldn't put my finger on. I was like, who's doing this? Like, isn't the Thomas Newman. It's not Giacchino or anything. It's like,
yeah,
it's like, oh, Rob Simons.
Cool. Or your guy Desplat.
Desplat.
Yeah.
By, you know, one of our good friends. yeah, Rob Simons is a between this and the other movie that's going to come up this week. Good week for scores. I'm a big fan of scores
that have been on both movies. Glad to hear.
But yeah, this that aspect certainly quite worked for me. Mm-hmm. What else? What did you think of all the? I mean, you mentioned like the character designs feel very Pixar, as far especially the human specifically. But what did you think of like the just creative designs for the world and the aliens or what have you?
I think that it could have been more. They just didn't have that much time to explore it because it's very. I like the initial shape of what is it that they're on? Like,
it's like the Communiverse.
Yeah, Communiverse. Thank you. Yeah, because you know when they first showed it, I was like, this is Valerian, like you know, State of a Thousand Planets kind of thing, right? Because people have come together to create technology that advances the universe, kind of.
There's
thing.
A double feature: Elio and Valerian is idiot.
Well, one's a heavier topic, but yeah. I was like, well, maybe they're both kind of heavy, but I like the way that it looks when you're zoomed away from it. You didn't really get spend a lot of time on there. And then as far as like the aliens go, it's like they're not really anything to write home about. Like, not that I was mad about it, just more that you kind of see them all in the trailer. So that's kind of like an unfortunate thing. But at the same time, I did like the help bot. Like, it's, I forget what it's called, but ooh, it's like the smallest thing. What is it?
Ooh,
it's called the ooh. Yes, yeah, I really liked it because the way that it helps everybody out, mm-hmm, but also it can spit out, like throw up more juice for you to drink. It's pretty clever the way that they designed that.
Gross.
to be fair, Elio doesn't actually drink it till like later, but yeah.
That's always better. Doesn't drink it until later.
Yeah, because it gets very excited about something. But yeah, what about you? Thoughts on character design?
Yeah, I enjoy what they're going for. Like, I feel like because I was like set on this being a more kid friendly Pixar film, like I get that they're not going to, and again, as I already mentioned, kind of the choice to create designs that would be purposefully appealing. I think I was already geared up to accept it more as a, how else to phrase it, like less like gritty kind of version of aliens and more of like a, not even exaggerated, but kind of like fun fanciful set of characters, mm-hmm, to kind of deal with or what have you. So
yeah,
and which, you know, when you have like Brad Garrett doing the voice, like I get like the kind of tone we're going for, and I think the designs kind of fit that tone where, you know, there's serious things to discuss at certain points, but at the same time it's still a lot of fun. Like, it's the idea is to aim at what's big and colorful and bright,
right?
Fortunately, it's a studio that just knows how to do this very well, so it's not just empty calories as far as big, right, colorful creatures or whatnot. But it's still, because I agree with you as far as, yes, could like there be more of a world to explore and more to delve into, I'm sure, and you know that there's like a giant art book that has all the designs and everything.
Sure, really, yeah. But I'd like be curious to see what they've got.
But in terms of like the final product here, it didn't dissuade me from liking this movie more just because it's not necessarily simplistic, but just kind of like, you know, not going above and beyond to kind of deliver me like the you know, the craziest alien designs of all time or whatnot.
No, totally. Yeah.
It fits what it's the tone that, yeah, I think it's going for.
But as far as like the designs and the art and everything like that, I mean, like two movies kind of came to mind when I was watching this too, or after the fact, you know, the way that they designed the, like the spirits in, what was the Jamie Foxx movie? Soul. Like the way that they designed those, he's like, that's very, I never thought about this, or, you know, they're just like chalk shapes and they don't really have like real form. They kind of just like, mm-hmm, they're quite rigid, but they also can be quite fluid. It's very interesting to look at. And then in terms of like the, like what is it called again, Aaron? Like the planet they're on?
Communiverse.
Thank you. The Communiverse, like, the comparison is like, that I was thinking about is Strange World, the Jake Gyllenhaal.
Exactly, Strange World. Yeah.
But things like Strange World has I really like that design. I didn't like the movie that much, but I really liked the way that they were designing everything and giving me like weird creatures, and then the holistic of what it is too was like, oh wow, this is actually pretty clever, even though like the script is not that strong, and also the execution is not that strong.
I like Strange World.
I don't dislike it, but I didn't think it was...
Stop hating Strange World.
Jesus, Jake Gyllenhaal, make a better movie.
What were we saying?
We're just talking about, like...
No, okay, I remember what I was going to say. You mentioned Soul. Soul, I feel like that's a... Like, I think Soul's spectacular. I think that is, like, top-tier Pixar for me. I think that's a film that really understands like how to balance what we're talking about. Like, I do think the kind of in the soul world, whatever the, you know, that existence, it still is like cartoony, if you know what I mean. Like, there's, you know, the simplicity of the little, like the young souls or whatever like, you know, are purposely goofy and what have you, like that has a very kid friendly vibe to it because the souls themselves are children. And yet, that is also a very gritty movie. When you go to Earth, it feels like it's photoreal. Like, it looks incredible.
That's a good point.
It has designs of people that are obviously not, like, you know, they're mildly exaggerated. But in terms of, like, the environments, the streets, you know, the buildings, the street signs, the barbershop, like, it looks...
Exactly, yeah. I was going to say, like, all the shops.
Yeah. It's photoreal. Like, that movie we love, The Good Dinosaur. It's... that's a movie that I feel like doesn't know how to balance what it's going for. Where it's like,
yeah, but that also had like a weird director change to it too.
It had a weird. This movie was made like 4 years ago, and like it's coming out now. We still don't really figure out what we wanted to do with it.
Exactly. But I'm curious, like where they go, I guess next. But a question that's related to that. Is that I've been seeing some chatter online. I'm curious your thoughts about this, about the way that people are saying Pixar kind of has a current animation style. And they're like, well, can we get out of this animation style? And I was like, I would disagree that they have a current animation style. Like,
I would too.
I'm sure that people are like, well, it's all bubbly and like, you know, a little bit too like an Asian influence or whatever. He's like, yeah, but Elemental, they look nothing like that.
Yeah,
you know?
I would say Soul looks different from Luca, which looks different from Turning Red, looks different from Lightyear, looks different from Elemental. I mean, none of those look like each other at all, I would say.
Yeah, agreed.
There's certainly like, I can tell what a Pixar movie looks like versus a Disney movie versus a DreamWorks movie versus Illumination movie. They have certain like textures and feelings to them that register as far as what we know those studios for. But in terms of like designs or whatnot, I get that we're in a post-Spider-Verse world where it's very exciting to see that come alive and see DreamWorks like really go to town, and Sony for that matter, like really like figure out like what else we can do to kind of mix things up.
Mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't fault Pixar for still feeling like Pixar films, because I do think they're still experimenting within those films. So
yeah. I mean,
so totally shut up, other guys. That's
exactly
what I'm saying.
Yeah. I mean, they're gonna like make an Incredibles 3, and you're gonna tell me that looks too much like Turning Red? Like, no, like they still have like, I can understand perhaps what this person's saying from like an overall shape of things, but each of these directors is not like, okay, let's go to the art department and like, all right, art department, I need you guys to give me a storyboard of all these things, and they're all just like using the same stuff. Like, this is not like, remember how back in the day when we used to have, like cells of like a Baloo the bear. And then in Robin Hood, it's like, he's
you can
gone.
Match, you can, because of, for cost saving efforts, you can see, you can save out by having certain like repeated, frame animations going on. Just
Like, this is not that case. You know what I mean? Like each of these directors probably has a specific way that they want things to look. I mean, like we talked about Coco. I mean, Coco kind of like falls, I think, before a lot of this chatter kind of starts, but Coco, everything looks like, you're going to tell me like Miguel looks exactly the way that, you know, somebody looks in Coco, or I'm sorry, in Luca. It's like they kind of similar sometimes, but not exactly the same. So.
Like, again, there's a house style of sorts, but like Luca, one thing I really like about Luca is that it has this kind of interesting watercolor aspect to it that makes it stand out differently. Lightyear goes for the kind of grittiness of an action sci-fi movie.
Yeah, and also your photorealistic environments.
Yeah, photorealistic environments, same with Soul, like we mentioned already. You know, Elemental, yes, very much has like a, because it's using, it's relying on elements and making the textures of those feel different, right, and unique from each other to better emphasize their differences. Like, there's a lot of work that goes into this stuff that I do like to try to acknowledge. That's the biggest thing I think we take for granted when it comes to Pixar. There's a reason these movies cost $150, $200 million, since they put a shit ton of work into developing like ways to animate these things, right, that feel interesting and unique and what have you. If you want to pare it down by saying, like, you know, some of these characters have similarities to each other, like, I don't know what to tell you. Disney could get away with it easily because they're the only animation studio in town for a good 50 years before, like, what? What's his name?
Who are you thinking of?
Like American Tail and
Dom DeLuise?
Yeah, animator Dom DeLuise.
Famed chef and character voice Dom DeLuise.
Don, you were close. Don Bluth. Okay. I knew you had it, and then I'm like, did you change it on purpose? Because I knew it. I knew it. But like, you know, and between that or like Looney Tunes or Hanna-Barbera, like, you know, those are,
yeah.
And those aren't even movies at that point. That's just, you know, that they're short form animation. But like, Disney could afford to just show you Disney films that look like other Disney films. Even they would evolve over time. Like, you know, once we get to, well, computers became more involved, obviously the looks somewhat changed or whatnot, but right, you can look at, you know, Bambi and Dumbo and Fantasia, these early ones, and see, yeah, like obviously similarities between them. And yeah, you look at the 70s, you get to the Robin Hoods and the Jungle Books or whatever, right, which also have similarities. Like, it's all there. I get that.
Yeah, exactly.
But I mean, like, I don't see the issue. Like, at the time where it's like, yeah, that's the Disney movie. We're going to go see the Disney movie. That's what it looks like. Disney. Pixar. Any animation studio, like, I'm not the biggest fan of Illumination, but like, I can appreciate that they do have a style that is very much their own style.
Sure, yeah,
that feels appropriate to me.
And then very much in the same vein of this conversation, we've had this with recent DreamWorks movies, where we're like, oh, DreamWorks is certainly figuring out its style right now.
They've chosen to evolve, which I very much appreciate. Like,
yeah, same.
DreamWorks movies, they do, like, if there's, talking about that conversation that you're, you know, referencing as far as the thought of a studio having a very similar feel or whatnot, DreamWorks is a big example of that in a way that I wouldn't necessarily say it's negative, but certainly wasn't helping them, where their movies did largely look the same.
Yeah, exactly.
Until they didn't. Yep, and exactly. Credit where credit's due. Like, some of them obviously make more choices because they just have more money to work with. The Kung Fu Panda franchise, the How to Train Your Dragon franchise.
Sure.
The fact that characters evolve or there's different things going on that kind of expand the world, that's very credible. But when you have things like a Shark Tale or, you know, the average ones you don't think about very often. Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, they don't really, you know.
Who did Croods? Is that Sony?
No, that's DreamWorks.
DreamWorks, okay. Yeah.
You know, so, but yes, now, again, in this kind of post-Spider-Verse world, you have the bad guys and Puss in Boots, The Last Wish.
Correct, yeah.
Movies that feel like...
Or even the Wild Robot.
Wild Robot movies.
Where it has, like, it changes animation style for sure.
Making clear choices to basically, like, animators looked at Spider-Verse. I know that I'm using just, but it's like, it really,
I know what you mean,
that.
But like, Spider-Verse certainly like had a huge imprint about, like, really, hey, by the way, you can mix all these animation styles.
It really is that, like, that's
to further the story.
Yeah, it's like, it's, I'm not just using the catch-all. It's like,
and really, I know that it's very difficult. I know that a lot of animators have kind of said, like, that's so hard to do, like, in the process of, because, like, you know, like, it's really fun to do because we get to draw our art, but also, like, to replicate it is very difficult. Mm-hmm. So yeah, but I know what you mean. Like, you're using it, but it's also a really good example of, like, how art has changed and how animated movies have changed in the last, like, 10 years.
Now I'm just thinking, imagine somebody saying that to Miyazaki. Why do your movies all look the same?
I think that he would, like, politely, you know, like, you know, say, like, you know, my movies have certainly, I'm answering as if I'm him, and I'm like, offended.
He would walk to another room and grab a sword that was gifted to him.
Well,
and kill you.
No, that's what he would want to do, but he would tell you to your face that, like, he thanks you for watching his movies, and then he would leave. But, like, if he were to really do something, yes, he would, like, kill you on the spot. he'd take out a cigarette, light it, and then, like, put it out in your eyeball. That's what Hayao Miyazaki thinks of your fucking comment. If you think we're being dramatic, we're not.
Talk to his son.
Yeah, he excommunicated his son because he didn't like Hedwig and the Angry Inch.
So what else about Ellie?
I wanted to ask you about this is like an in-story thing.
Mm-hmm.
But there are now more than one person, probably like 5 dozen people that have seen an alien and an alien spacecraft. How do you think this goes the next day? Like, are they all just like Men in Black, where they're just like, hey, we got to neuralize everybody here at this base?
I would have said yes.
That would make a lot of sense and be very easy to answer. But I certainly had a question of like, they're just gonna let everybody see this? And then that reminded me of Midnight Special. Yeah, where like, you know, the alien, not the alien, but like the spaceship kind of comes into view and everyone realizes like it can be so peaceful. But yeah, like what happens to these people? Are they just put away forever?
Yes.
All right. This makes sense.
No,
they just live on an island.
It's just accepted. Everything's cool. Everybody's like, yeah, all right. We saw that. Moving on. Big deal.
Big deal turned small.
If you see one, you've seen them all.
That's right.
That's what I gotta ask. Here's my question. Mm-hmm. It's Zoe Saldana here is playing Aunt Olga.
Mm-hmm.
How do we feel about the name Olga?
I'm fine with it. Like, I don't really have any like weird disassociation with it. Do you know a mean Olga in your life?
No, I know it's rather
Eastern European?
No, rather fine-looking people named Olga. It seems like that's such an old-fashioned name. Maybe because that's old and literally in the
word. Your name is Olga. Aaron. My name is Abraham.
Yes,
we have old people names too.
Olga just like it hits the tongue in a different sort of way. Olga.
Okay. Olga. Okay. Interesting conundrum that you've brought up, because now I will be thinking about this name for the rest of my life. Olga. I had a question for you. I'm trying to remember. It was kind of toward like the third act of this movie.
Mm-hmm.
It was, I think it was about like some cloning.
What did they have the release of clones in this movie?
Pretty clever. Yeah. I really liked, like, there was like some good.
As a plot device, I enjoyed it.
Yeah. And also, it kind of was fun to see them kind of assume characteristics. And then kind of go with it, because the big laugh of my theater certainly was when a clone kind of tells you that this person is the real personality, and everyone just kind of got a kick out of that. Oh, that was what it was. Did you catch some of the Easter eggs around Terminator 2 and Alien?
Yes, Alien for sure. T2 was like, and that, like, thinking back, I was like, yeah, that makes sense. No, I appreciate, I mean, you know, like, what's his name? Lee Young Kirk's a huge Shining fan. He's going to put Shining stuff all over Pixar movies. Like, I like when the directors, you know, throw in stuff that's like clearly like
they're, yeah, what they like and what they influence.
Yeah, what they influence, but just like things that will like stick out in a way to certain kinds of movie fans, which always goes back to me watching Incredibles and seeing a very clear reference to Die Hard with a Vengeance, of all things, with Samuel Jackson. And I'm like, this is so specific.
That's right. With the phone.
It's so deliberate.
In Vengeance with the phone.
Yeah. It's such a deliberate choice to make. is this a joke just for me? Did Brad Bird like say, this will amuse only Aaron? Like, that's
exactly why he did it. Yeah. He knows who you are. You're in his Rolodex. You're the first person in his phone book. AA? You can't beat that.
I call him BB.
But he's not first in your Rolodex, though.
If you're not first, you're last. So it doesn't matter where he is.
That's what I learned from Turbo with Ryan Reynolds.
We don't talk about that.
Talk about animation styles. No. In terms of like where they're going to go next here, I'm curious. Did you hear about this movie, or did you not hear about it?
What?
I had not heard about the next upcoming name of the movie.
Oh, Hoppers?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know Hoppers. Yeah.
Okay, because
they announce these things at the different Disney cons and
whatever. Yeah, I'm sure that they do, but I was like, I thought that I was in the know. I guess I'm not in the know.
Yeah, it's the next three are original movies, if I'm not mistaken.
That's good.
No, that's not true. Toppers, then it's Toy Story 5, then like after that, then they're like all originals for a bit until Coco and Incredibles come out.
I'm also
they're going back and forth between doing the thing they do. So.
Yeah, I'm glad, but I'm looking up the director of the next film. He did this series called We Bear Bears. I don't know if you've ever seen it, but it's about three different kind of bears, and they live in the Bay Area. So they take Bart and they go to San Francisco. And
I like this poster, We Bear Bears, the movie.
Yeah, they're all very different in personality as well.
Eric Edelstein, Bobby Moynihan, and Dimitri Martin. Okay,
there you go. Yeah,
Keith Ferguson.
Yeah, if you have a chance, check it out. But in any case, kind of interested in what's going to happen next then. So
Hopper says an interesting sounding story. That's for sure.
I did not read a synopsis.
It's like, what if animals, but Avatar? And I'm like, wait, what?
What if animals, but Avatar?
Yes. Like humans, I believe, can put their mindset inside of an animal.
Okay. Oh, I see what you're saying now. So okay.
Like the animal is like an avatar.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. All right.
Yeah, but it's Hoppers, then Toy Story 5, then Gato. It's 2027.
Gato. Oh, that was the one that just got announced from the director of Flow, right?
Yes. I don't know about the director of
Flow. Well, the director of Flow just got announced to do a picture for a pretty big studio.
Oh, it's the director of Luca. That's what it is. That's like, that's what threw me off. Yes. Yeah, oh,
okay. All right. Well, let's get back in.
Okay. Okay. So, yeah. Gato is after, and then Incredibles 5 is coming out. Incredibles 3. Brad Bird's only writing the script. The director is, what's his name? He did Peter Sohn. Peter Sohn is the director.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I mean, he's a Pixar.
He's a Pixar guy. Yeah.
He's a Pixar fixture at this point.
Yeah. He did, he just did Elemental and of course, The Good Dinosaur.
Yeah, but he's voiced like many characters.
He's a Pixar.
Yeah, and he's produced again. He seems like he's been there from the beginning, kind of thing.
He has been there since the early 2000s.
This point. Yeah, so you know he's kind of like, I'm glad, but yeah, I'm glad that Brad Bird is writing it.
Still writing it.
See if like you know how that works out on the direction front. But yeah, Pixar. Still doing good work. I find that their stories are much more complete and comprehensive. I have said this before. I have some problems with third acts in Disney animated films, where I feel like they're a little bit rushed versus the way that they've set up the first two acts in Disney animated films. Tangent related to Disney and the House of Mouse.
Yes.
What was that animated movie that Wish?
Yes.
Is it good or bad?
Bad.
Okay. Like not even like one that you'd be like, if you have nothing going on a Friday night, get a pizza and watch Wish.
Wish is like bottom five all time Walt Disney animation. Like along with like Chicken Run and Home on the Range. And...
Chicken Little, you mean?
Sorry, yes, Chicken Little.
Yeah, Chicken Run. I was like, how dare you?
That's Aardman. Sorry, my apologies.
That's a great movie.
Apologies to everybody except Mel Gibson.
Accepted.
But no, yeah, Wish is a very bad movie.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Down in the depths there. No,
down in the depths.
Don't worry about that one. All right. When do people go and see Elio?
I think you should check it out in theaters. I think it's a really good watch with an audience, and hopefully that you have a good time.
I would say see it in a theater as well. It's Pixar. It's big and fun. It's for all the, you know, it's a good default choice for I think a family to enjoy, either that or 28 years later, whichever one, or see both kids, you know, that, you know,
double feature
Dinosaur. That's another terrible Disney movie.
Dinosaur that was the 2000 film. Yeah,
that's the film where it has this great trailer as far as like, look at all this stuff, the visuals look amazing, and then when the dinosaurs start to talk, you're like, wait a minute, no thank you, I don't want this at all.
Wasn't it like D.B. Sweeney or something like that?
D.B. Sweeney's the lead voice. You are correct. Yeah,
off the top of the head too,
off the dome. Yeah. Good job.
They had a really
it was a pretty cool cast. D.B. Sweeney, Alfre Woodard, Ossie Davis, Max Casella, Hayden Panettiere, Juliana Margulies. Like, that's a solid bunch of people.
Yeah. And really strong 90s actors.
A movie that sucks.
I don't really remember that much of it. No. I remember they had really good, really, really interesting toys, but yeah.
They looked like dinosaurs, I take it.
No dino damage, though.
I was going to say, exactly. That's why. There are no Jurassic Park toys. You know why? Because they don't have a JP stamped on the dinosaur. That's how you know.
That's how you know that it's authentic.
It is. That's the reason.
When are you going to get a Jurassic Park sticker for your car? I know that it's probably not red, but, you know, like.
Abe, I have Godzilla stickers on my car. Like, I'm not. I don't need.
You're not crossing the streams here.
Okay. Well, you need. Let's remember. I like Jurassic Park, but it's a B-minus franchise at best. Like, I'm not sitting here like I need Jurassic Park stuff.
When did it go off the rails for you? Lost World or third?
Well, I like the third, and I don't like Lost World. So
what?
Yeah.
Wow.
This is not.
We'll discuss this in a few weeks.
This is not news at all. And World is my second favorite. So, I mean, you know, whatever.
The first Chris Pratt?
I said World. I didn't say Fallen Kingdom. I didn't say Dominion. Okay. I said World. Yes.
What is Jurassic World?
The first Chris Pratt. Jurassic World.
Yeah, yes. that's what I was saying. Okay.
Right. Where the park is open. Yes.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Dino Balls.
But again, all of these movies in this episode that definitely needs this discussion, they're all B at best movies.
Yeah, understandable.
So it's not a franchise I cherish. Nor feel a need to get outraged on Twitter and every time something happens in a Jurassic movie that bothers people for some reason. Anyway.
go see Leon in theaters.
What a good movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Good. We've done it.
We did it.
This episode for Leon. This podcast has been a very good podcast. You know where that's going.
Yeah.
Everything I do can be found at thecodeofzeke.substack.com. Model of Social Darren's PS4. Please listen to Two Black Guys Talk Godzilla as well. We just released a new episode this past week focused on Frankenstein versus Baragon and the War of the Gargantuas. So enjoy all that. Abe?
You find more fun on my Instagram, Abe, and Twitter, x.com/WalrusMoose. # okay, thanks. I love you. Okay, bye. I love you.
And Abe, you're going to be taking a couple weeks off here, I believe.
I am, yes. Yeah, I've got some family coming into town, so I won't be able to do my regular gig. So I've got a host. So I know that you'll be able to hold it down, as always. We've got some special guests coming up for the next few episodes. And I'll have a huge list of Quickies TM to talk about in 2 to 2.5, 3 weeks' time.
Okay, well. I look forward to you having a good time and coming back with a vengeance. Tell us all your thoughts about everything that you've watched.
Maybe go meet Sam Jackson. He's my uncle.
Yeah, I can't wait for you to tell us about like the 4 movies you've watched in the 3 weeks that you're not here.
that's gonna be about the average. Yeah, that's gonna be about right.
I do like that you finished movies lately, though. That's a good step up.
From the
check-in on week 5 of not finishing Cool Hand Luke.
Which, yeah, that took a really long time.
Because it's such a hard movie to watch.
He started Luke. I mean, I was like, it's so hot, you know, like the movie makes it look so hot. So, you know, he's just out getting his ass beat by all these, like, you know, inmates, and I just had to keep waiting, I guess.
Well, all of that in mind, that's gonna do it for this week's episode about Now Third and Abe. Stay tuned for 28 years later, actually, no, by the time this episode comes out, that episode should already
have been dropped.
So yeah. Stay tuned for F1 coming very soon.
The movie.
The movie. Not just the sport F1.
Exactly.
But F1:the movie, as it's referred to in some places.
We've got full titles here going on still, Aaron.
Well, I'm still confused about that because it's been called F1 the whole time. And suddenly, the movie started cropping up in some place, but not all.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So right. the jury's out on this. We're not calling it F1, the movie.
Yeah.
We're not. So we'll see what they
do. Fair play.
Yeah. Okay. But all that said, that's going to finish the episode. So until next time, so long.
And goodbye. Thank you.